It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
See, folks, we had so much fun last week. Joey decided to join us again. And as I was saying last week, I like that whole combination. We were just going over age differences. And we have representatives here of three of the major generations. And this way I get to, without ever discussing this with either of them in advance, I get to ask them questions, and you get the benefit of listening to the perspective of the, I guess I'd have to call you middle-aged, looking at the gray in your beard.
I'll take Gen X.
Okay, Gen X versus a millennial, one of the good types. And
yeah, Gen Y. That's the good
yeah,
size, right?
Yeah. When they're not ready to accept their own fate yet when they bring up a new one like that. But anyway, I'm happy to be here, as I'm sure they are, on this particularly noteworthy weekend where one of the greatest sporting events in the history of the world takes place. And I refer, of course, to the Weenie 500.
No clue what you're talking about.
See, folks, you gotta have an old guy in here. You're never going to find out what's going on. The Race of the Wienermobiles took place in Indianapolis yesterday. The first annual Weenie 500.
Wow.
Ah, that missed my Instagram feed.
Well, yeah. I feel personally connected to the Wienermobile because I grew up in Dodgeville, about 43 miles west of Madison, where Oscar Mayer was located. And a guy who lived on our block about five or six doors away was one of the Wienermobile drivers. And he usually drove to work and then drove the Wienermobile wherever he was happened to go, and then he'd put it away and drive home after a few days. But once in a while, particularly on holidays, he'd drive it home, or if he was doing an event in our area. So we got, whenever it was there, we got to ride in it and go through it and all. And I'll tell you what, you could fit two of those in today's Wienermobiles. They were tiny back then.
Was that a big thing for the ladies of Wisconsin?
In Dodgeville in the 60s? Absolutely.
Wow.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah, times have changed.
Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, it's a contest, for those of you who don't know, it's a contest by type of dogs representing different geographical locations. New York dog, slaw dog, chili dog, shy dog, Seattle dog, Sonoran dog. Who won? Naturally, who won? The Southeast, the slaw dog.
Okay.
Go slaw dogs.
Great. That, now, this is really good, hard-hitting financial news that you're delivering.
This is what the people came for.
Think how many slaw dogs are going to sell now. You know, that during the Indianapolis 500, they'll sell 42,000 hot dogs.
Wow. That is a lot.
Where was the tip, man? I would have bought Nathan's right before.
You know, the problem with the Oscar Mayer Wiener, this is it. They had such great advertising they could sell them, but they weren't very good, and they still aren't. That's a problem. But that's just my thing. I got a message from one of our listeners, too, and we'll get to that later. Anyway, I digress, as I am loath to do. I want to welcome back all the regulars, the reason we keep showing up on these Saturday mornings. And by the way, our streak is back active. It is absolutely glorious outside. So I hope it lasts this way for the weekend for everybody. It's really, really nice. And if you're new to the show, and if you found it by accident or someone got told about it or whatever, try to stick around through the whole thing. I promise you, you'll learn something. There's a lot going on. There's always a lot going on, as you know. And we'll try to cover the highlights of it. Some known, some unknown, and some still up in the air. But there is a lot happening. So without further delay and digression and all that, I will kick it over to Adam for what happened this week, the week that I thought all the news was going to be terrific and we were going to go straight up. And then the T word came out.
No.
That was that.
Yeah, well, that was part of it. The other part was the big beautiful bill, which we are going to discuss in depth today. It has a negative side to it, and the bond market is really skittish over it, and you really saw that reaction on Wednesday, I believe, and so that definitely has that is a component of what happened this week. But you're right. On Friday morning, Trump posted a couple of truths that suggested he was going to put tariffs on iPhones in the EU, and the futures just tanked. I mean, it was down 800 at one point on the Dow futures. And I think rational thought took over and realized that these were negotiating tactics and not, I mean, they're kind of empty threats at this point. You just know he's not gonna purposely tank the stock market. And if tariffs are gonna do that, he's not gonna do tariffs. He's just way too pragmatic and proud of his economic accomplishments to do something like that. So I think that's why you saw steady buying throughout the day. And we ended down, but it wasn't really that substantial.
He's trying to show a few people a few things. The EU in particular, the EU is such a garbled mess of highfalutin, self-important idiots in Belgium that they don't even tell the member countries what they're negotiating on.
It was a failed experiment before it started. It was just such a bad idea.
England set the pace, and I think you're going to see the pace of breakup accelerate.
I think it should happen, honestly. It's just useless. It's a useless organization.
Yeah. But the ones that were smart enough to maintain their own currency can do it just like that.
Yeah.
But there weren't too many of those. I believe Denmark is one, and there are some others. France, I guess, went euro. But I think you're going to start seeing a push to get rid of it. You see, I don't want anybody negotiating for me. And they shouldn't want anybody negotiating for them, especially if they're people who live the sheltered life of the people in Belgium.
It just almost guarantees that your best interests are not being represented as a country. So that what a terrible system to come up with. I just don't get it. I think it needs to go away.
And it has dramatically slowed down anything that they want to do on a government basis.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and when you think of what was the purpose of it? To compete with us.
Yeah.
That's a terrible reason to do something major like
that. Not to be a jerk, but how'd that go?
Not that good.
Right. Yeah, seriously. So the market didn't quite get positive on Friday, but it did rise substantially. And that was into the holiday weekend. And that was a bit encouraging because people were showing signs of being willing to hold stocks over a three-day weekend during what could be argued is a pretty volatile time. So that's always a good sign.
As Angela was saying, they were on sale by then.
They were. Yeah, they were Friday morning for sure. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised to see the futures positive Tuesday morning, but I would be equally not surprised to see them negative. I mean, it's just that kind of market right now. You don't know what's going to happen next. We did go from very, very oversold to overbought in just a few weeks, and I think that has something to do with it too. We were really high going into this year, and we really got close to – we got within 3% on the S&P of those same over – kind of extended levels. So what's justifying that right now? There really isn't much. I mean, corporate profits looked surprisingly good last quarter, but we need to see that continue into this quarter before we can really get excited about it.
Historically, also, that's been a sign of good times to come.
It has, yeah. And hopefully that's what we see, but I need to see some more proof before I get on board.
Also, they did mention this week that they're very close to a trade agreement with India and Pakistan.
Which would be great.
Two different agreements.
Yep.
Those are huge, and it would help. All right, we have to pay a few bills. We won't be gone long, believe me, and then it all starts again, so don't go anywhere. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And we do have, as usual, a trivia question brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. The U.S. market is not faring nearly as well this year as some of the internationals are doing. But those results are mixed, too, as you would expect with so many people out there. So I have a question today about dividend yield. Since ours is very low right now, the S&P 500, the SPY index, is yielding only 1.2%, which is historically very, very low. And it needs to come up if it's going to compete with bonds, but that's just an aside to the story. So today's question, what country's index share ETF carries the second highest dividend yield around the world? The second highest. And you'll know when somebody gets it exactly why I'm asking. All right, back in the market, this very complex market this week.
Carry on. Definitely. I found one piece of this is actually an amazing stat because you never see this. And this is according to Bespoke Research. In prior periods where the S&P has traded down 15% or more from its all-time high and then rallied back within 3% of that same high, in the next 6 months, it was positive 100% of the time.
Oh, that's almost every time.
Almost every time, with an average gain of 9.9%. And it wasn't an insignificant amount of times this has happened either. That you never see it where it's 100%.
Very rare.
Yeah, you can see 70, 80%. That's pretty common. But to get 100, it's just absolutely, it just doesn't happen. So if you're a betting man and you like looking at history as a guide, this would be a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. All three indexes were remarkably consistent this week, which has also been unusual lately. The Dow and the NASDAQ were down 2.5%, while the S&P fell 2.6%. Inside the S&P, only consumer staples had a positive week, with every other sector falling. Energy was the worst performer, losing over 4%, while real estate was also down over 3%. International stocks actually continued their march higher. They gained 0.5%. Emerging markets were down 0.5%. Gold and silver both up over 1%. The price of oil fell about 0.2%, and commodities overall were pretty flat. Interest rates spiked, which I mentioned earlier. That drove long bond prices down over 2%, while the overall bond market was down about 0.5%, though. Nothing crazy, but still not heading the right direction, or the direction that most people were predicting that the bond market would head this year. Economic data is not great this week. Existing home sales fell to a 7-month low, with inventories climbing. I want to talk a bit about real estate. Inventories are still very low compared to pre-pandemic norms, but have risen 20% recently in a pretty short amount of time. Inventories are starting to look much worse relative to sales, though, and that's the concerning part. This was the worst month for inventories relative to sales of existing homes since 2016. The only good news is that new listings are still coming on the market at a very slow level, and so we're not seeing a lot of distressed sales. All of this has led to a decline in the median transaction price of 1.4%, but you have to consider that's off the all-time high set in December of last year. All of that data was for existing home sales. The new home sales actually look quite different. The inventory of new homes is about 40% higher than pre-COVID levels, despite new home sales jumping 10.9% this month. That was a big jump. The annual rate of new home sales is 743,000, which is below the highs of the pandemic, but much higher than pre-pandemic norms. That's pretty remarkable considering the cost of financing is so much higher now, with the average mortgage rate staying around 7% or higher. So you're seeing much higher sales of new homes than you did pre-pandemic, despite all the headwinds in the market. I don't know what that is about, but it's pretty interesting.
How's the market for 100-year-old homes?
It doesn't say anything about that. You know.
Okay. I think my blood pressure is just slowly rising as you went through all of it.
One thing I thought that was real interesting on the new home sales, if you look back a year ago, people would buy them pre-construction.
Yeah.
They'd buy them during construction, and they'd buy them finished.
Because they were buying whatever they could.
Yeah. Right. Not anymore.
Nope. Finished only.
I want to see it. I want it in move-in condition.
I want to move in next week.
Yep, that's it.
So yeah.
That's going to skew the sales a little bit. The other thing that's difficult, whenever you're talking about the housing market, it's difficult to work with a term like median. All median means is there's as many below as there are above. And it doesn't really tell you about house prices.
Yeah.
It tells you what's selling. And you don't know if the low-end houses have dropped 10%. Or gone up 15%, and you don't know if the high-end houses are still selling or if they're dropping down. All you know is there's that many above this number and that many below this number. It's impractical for most arguments, I guess, to not use the median. But if you really want to know, there is one way to check what's actually happening to houses, and that's the Case-Shiller Index, which tracks the differences in the same home over time,
sure.
Then you can see what's really going on. So be careful when you hear about the market and they're referring to a median, because it doesn't give you the whole story.
One more thing on that, too. This is national data, so your local market's going to look very different than this, no matter where you are.
Yep. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show as usual.
Thanks so much.
What's and I just was going to take a shot at the previous question, but before I do, I wanted to comment on something. I always watch the Power Lunch on CNBC, and it's more for entertainment than it's stock advice, but I noticed that Dr. J was on there for a couple of years. I actually played softball against him in the Chicagoland area.
No kidding.
Back in the day. But then, anyway, one day his thing was he would recommend stocks based on the options activity. You know, somebody bought 10,000 options on this stock or something like that. And this fellow that they have on there, Steve Weiss, basically made fun of him. You know, how can you recommend a stock just because some idiot buys a bunch of options on it? You know, next thing I know, he was never on the show again.
Oops.
I got a hunch he got ticked off.
The great disappearing act.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in attendance at Dr. J's retirement.
You were in attendance?
Yeah. He retired after losing a playoff game to the Milwaukee Bucks, and Sarah and I were at that game, and he got a standing ovation in Milwaukee like you would not believe.
He was one of the all-time greats, for sure. Yep.
Okay.
He used to hang around here a little bit, too. He's been seen around these parts on and off for a long time.
I shouldn't have used his moniker. The guy I'm referring to is known as John Najarian.
Financial.
Known as Dr. J, and I should have thought of that before I threw it out there. But I do remember watching Dr. J play for the Milwaukee Bucks, like you said.
Yep.
And he did get a standing ovation. But I'm talking about this fellow named John Najarian.
Okay, I am not familiar with him.
Okay. He was one of the spare bears back in the day when the players went on strike. He played football for the Bears.
No kidding.
For a little while. Yeah. And he's on with his brother Pete. He and his brother Pete are pushing a book about options. You know, it's a $9.95 value. We'll give it to you free or something like that.
Is that the one that's called That's Not an Option?
Yeah.
I love that title. Very clever.
Yeah, it is good. But anyway, he was a regular on the Power Lunch. And like I said, this Steve Weiss made fun of his analysis.
Who was it said the other day his pronouns are going to be was or were? I can't remember. Some of these people, the anti-Jewish people on the campuses that are supporting Palestine, he said they should go over there and demonstrate because then their pronouns are going to be was, were. That was absolutely.
I liked it. That
was
a good
brilliant.
One.
Wish I'd said that. One of those.
Well, I better let you get down with your show. Russia. Russia was going to be my guess.
Well, it is not correct. I didn't bring the chart to tell me where it was. Oh, you know what? I don't think we're even listing that one right now. I think it's taboo from the listings.
Yeah, it's not on this listing.
Yeah. Because of the bad boy who needs to talk
sanctions
like a normal
and whatnot.
Person. Yeah. Yeah. He's starting to talk a good line. I don't believe a word of it. Real simple. But
all righty.
Is that called a bracket when you rule out a country?
Sure.
Close enough. Huh?
I eliminated one country. There's only about 600 to go now.
Yeah, well, not quite that bad, but we got all day. Take care of yourself.
You
have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks.
Great.
It's fun. Anyway, what you want to wrap up? Anything else on the market?
Yeah. The one consistent thing that just hasn't changed is that jobless claims, they're staying consistent around 200K. Yeah. Everyone thought they would spike by now. It hasn't happened. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, although it still could. But that's been really consistent, and that's a very positive sign. And then we saw investor sentiment actually increase this week despite the market going down.
That one was interesting.
That almost never happens.
Right.
We actually saw fewer bears than bulls for the first time in 15 weeks. So.
Yeah, and that was because of a drop.
Weird.
The bears, speaking of Chicago, they dropped from 60% at the start of May to 36.7 now.
Yeah.
That's 4 weeks of sentiment changing like that. And I can't say that it's because of what, just the glorious wad of news that's everywhere. Everybody's, I don't know. I'm confused by that.
I know, me too.
Although I think they were ridiculous to get up to 60%. And maybe it's just a reversion to the mean or something like that. Common sense taking over. Once in a while it does.
Some of that, but I think retail isn't getting smarter. It feels like, I mean, like the buy the dip messaging, I feel like is landing in broader audiences, and you're seeing it.
Absolutely. All right, we got to take a quick break, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And I remind everyone, lines are open, 904-222-8255, where you can take a shot at our trivia question. What is the country whose index share, ETF, today has the second highest yield? And I'll tell everybody, the U.S. is way, 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 way down the list at only 1.2%. All right. I guess in my book, in fact, I think everybody here in our book, the biggest news this week was that one BBB got out of the House. They said it couldn't be done. Speaker Johnson said, oh, yes, it can. And who turned out right? Johnson pulled another rabbit out of another hat. He must have quite a hat collection.
This people who said it couldn't be done are dumb. I knew it was going to happen.
Of course, like, they did.
Absolutely,
that's only common sense. It's just a better story. And of course, you got the few prima donnas out there, like Massey, Chip Roy. On that side, but even on our side.
Oh,
you haven't spoken my name, and I haven't seen my face on TV for a while, so I'm going to tell you all the things that are wrong with this.
Yeah, of course.
And when it goes back to the Senate now, to look at a compromise of some sort, you're going to see the same thing in the Senate. Well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, no, no, no. It's going to pass. What's important about that? The number one thing and the number two thing are the same thing. That is, the tax rates from the Trump tax cuts, so to speak, are permanent now, and that is all that matters. They were going to get extended. That was one. Hopefully, they were going to get permanentized. That was two, and that happened. And nothing else matters nearly as much as that right now. George, good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening?
I'm retired, and I got a question. Can I roll over the proceeds of my RMD to my Roth?
No. Not directly.
No.
Nope.
The only way that is possible is if you take a part-time job and have earned income this year.
That's what I was afraid.
Yeah, and so you need that to be able to make a contribution to any kind of IRA. You need that earned income, and Social Security, RMDs, pension income, that does not count.
Nope.
I was afraid of that. Okay.
Yeah.
You can always do a taxable Roth conversion, but your RMD has to come out taxable to you. And if you want to do any more of that, you can.
I'll take a shot at your question.
Okay, shoot.
How about Australia?
Interesting guess, but wrong.
Wrong. Okay.
Not bad, just wrong.
Good guess, though.
I should have brought the whole list. I could tell you where they stand, but I didn't. My apologies for the oversight. We appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Yeah, they saw us coming on that one. You know, we talk about the Roth conversions once in a while.
Yeah.
In the old days, meaning prior to TCJA, you just convert as much as you wanted to.
Yeah.
Then you figure your taxes in March or whenever of the next year, and you unconvert, they call it recharacterize, as much as you wanted to put you right on the dollar where you want to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was so much fun. It was too good to last.
But, George, also, if you're still listening, if you don't need your RMDs and you're sitting in a low tax bracket, a conversion strategy could be the way to get rid of those RMDs and put you in a better position, put your heirs in a better position by inheriting Roth IRAs instead of traditional. So something to think about if that is your goal. Just a thought.
A planning opportunity. Well, they take one away, there's another one open.
Yeah,
always.
Exactly.
You never know. All right, but other items in the one BBB, the one big beautiful bill, of importance, and there are a lot of them. You guys want to hit any highlights that you particularly like?
We kind of were just chatting about this in the office on Friday as it came out, reading the highlights. And man, it is just from a personal financial planning, personal finance perspective, this is amazing. Like on an individual basis, if you're a couple or an individual making $150,000 or less, this is like great for you.
Yeah, it's easy for people to forget that not only were the rates cut, but the brackets were made much wider. Yep. They were going to shrink.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, for you wealthy people out there, $15 million per person for the estate exemption.
Yeah, it went up a little bit. Yep. So that's nice, too.
Excellent.
The extension of that alone was such a huge deal for certain people.
It is.
I mean, think about how many conversations we've had over the last 7 years.
Family farms, small business owners, those are the people in those brackets. They don't want it for the money. They want it so they can transfer their businesses and their farms to their family.
Right, without liquidating half of it to do it.
Exactly, yeah. And without employing teams of tax attorneys to figure out the best way to do it.
Right.
So this, some things that stand out to me, and they actually increase the child tax credit to $2,500. So that's, you know, not a traditionally Republican stance. That's a Democrat thing more often than not. So that was nice. I think it's for only 3 years, but in those next 3 years, that's great. The I thought the MAGA account for kids that are born in the next 3 years.
Change the name.
It's Money Account for Growth and Advancement, or MAGA.
Really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah. they changed it in this bill. It's now called a Trump account. And the loyal opposition is really upset about
that. What is that acronym?
It isn't one.
Oh, okay. That's hilarious.
It's called the Irritate the Left.
Whether you love him or hate him, the man can create a legacy. Yeah, you can't. For sure. He's going to force you to talk about him in 30 years.
Exactly. I thought that was hilarious. It's $1,000 for every U.S. citizen born from 25 through 28, and they just automatically open that account in your name. I don't know if it has to be invested in like T-bills or something like that, or you can put it in whatever. But, man, that $1,000 by the time a kid is like retiring could be, who knows, like a ton of money.
And
if
I don't
they put
know,
it in like SPY or you QQQ?
You can't open a Roth for a kid unless that kid's earning some money. Is this going to be an account where the parents can feed it on top?
I don't know. I don't know.
Then once they see that their kid has some money and it starts to grow, you never know.
Just basic math. If we assume a 10% growth rate, assuming people are super aggressive with the account, by the time they're about 63, that should be $250,000.
Wow. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
Crazy. Way more than many people save during their entire lifetime for retirement. I think we need to talk about the SALT, the way that they did it. They did increase it. I think it goes from about $10,000 to $40,000. But
the Senate is balking at that, but they're not going to get it changed.
I love the way they did it.
I do too.
It goes to 40,000, but it's also limited by income. So there's a phase out and where it goes back down to the 10. Why I love that is that you're not just, if you just increase it, the main people that take advantage of it are wealthy people in high tax states.
Right.
So essentially what's happening is people in Florida and Tennessee are subsidizing the federal tax bill of wealthy people in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and California. And so this kind of makes you are still subsidizing, but only for lower income people. And that I'm okay with.
Yeah. It starts phasing out at $500,000. And that $500,000, if you're living in California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, and you're, say, two professionals, a pair of doctors, or one of them could be a firefighter and one of them married a physician or something like that. It doesn't take that much to get there. And those people really do need help. They need relief from their day-to-day tax burden. But when you get up in the million, 2 million, 3 million, that's the one that the Democrats always complain about. They tell us we're giving all these tax breaks to the uber wealthy. Well, they can't argue that now.
Nope.
It was brilliant because it's the right thing to do and it takes away the argument.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it puts money back in the pockets of people who are going to turn around and spend that money on life.
Absolutely.
Which is good for the stock market.
Yep.
And the people like that do not have the ultimate set of wheels, meaning they could just pack up and leave. Because, you know, when you're tied into a profession like that and you've got your practice or whatever it is that is in place, and the way you make your money is serving local people, you're not going to Florida. You'd have to retire to do that. I agree with Adam completely. I thought it was brilliant. That's a good one.
So in 2025, a married couple filing jointly where both spouses are age 65 or older would have – so in 20 – yeah, let me see here. That is a standard deduction of $32,000 plus $3,200. That's the 65-plus amount plus $8,000, the new bonus amount for both spouses. So your maximum in 2025 could be a standard deduction of $43,200.
Not bad.
No, that's a huge, that basically makes your Social Security income not taxed.
Good point.
Although technically that's not how it works, right. It does it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, and if you're in your, let's say you're in your late 60s, you're done working, what's the first capital gains bracket, the 0%? Does that go up to like 40?
If you're, so 40,000 in income?
Yeah, 40,000. If that was your only income, let's say early retirement.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
So that means you could realize, what, 80,000 of capital gains at the 0% bracket?
It's crazy.
Yeah. That's a good opportunity.
Yeah, it is.
I hope people are
it
taking
is.
That.
Yeah, so there's a ton of planning opportunities there.
For yeah, sure. There's going to be some housing sales as people get older in those states where the 500,000 for a couple or 250 single, that's going to be blown away, because if they've lived there for 30 years, the increase in value is way above that. So this could help offset some of that too.
Sure.
There's just so many complications and all of this stuff. It's difficult to talk intelligently about it on the radio, because basically it's a lot of numbers being thrown around. But the concept itself is very easy to understand and good. I think we're about to take a break here, so I'm going to have to, we'll say as soon as we come back, we'll start again on some of the other highlights, including my personal favorite, the QBI extension and increase. So if you're a small business person, you don't want to miss this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And remind everyone the lines are open, 904-222-8255, where we're looking for the answer to what stock index by country has the second highest yield. And I do have a point, if that helps anybody's thinking. So we'll see how that goes. All right, we're back to the one BBB and the highlights. This is a very, very comprehensive budget bill, and it has something for everyone. Right before the break, I mentioned the QBI deduction. That's what small businesses who are like sub-S corporations and so on, it equalizes the tax rate that the owner has to pay against what it would be for someone who was not using the LLC format. And it was invented of necessity during the final closing days of the TCJA, the Trump tax law, when Adam and I discovered, we're going to get taken to the cleaners on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Ron Johnson, who grew up not very far from where we did and owned a small business not very unlike what we did, and has a great understanding of such things, he asked for a meeting with Trump and explained this, and Trump got the concept immediately, and they then invented the procedure, and it made it into TCJA, where we are now treated the same as everybody. But what the calculation showed was the right amount of the deduction for the qualified business income was about 21 or 22%. They got 20. Okay, close enough. Now it's going to 23, it appears, and that means we're playing a little makeup on it. So for people like Adam and Joey, and I don't think I'm going to be subject to it anymore, but it's a godsend, because it allows you to do business in the format that's best for your business, which in many people's cases to do just what we're doing. So count that as a good one, and there are lots more. What else do you guys like?
So there was some other things that were extended the increased alternative minimum tax exemption, so you don't really have to worry. Most people don't have to worry too much about that.
Hard to get rid of it, though, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently impossible because it should just go away, but it doesn't.
They did it at the corporate level in TCJA, and I thought, you know, that's probably more than we could have expected.
Yeah, I mean, it. But I do like that they at least didn't let it go back to the old right. way where a lot of people got hit with right. it. Mm-hmm. There was they kept the mortgage debt rules, so you can't deduct a HELOC interest unless you used it to increase your house. That was already a law. It extended that. There's a $750,000 limit on mortgage debt that you can that's the most you can have to deduct your interest. So if you have $1 million mortgage, some of that is not deductible. That was a rule that got extended. Yeah, I mean, overall, just the more I read about it, the more I like it from this side of things. My biggest complaint is that it increases spending instead of restricting it, and right. we really need to put in place some spending limits for Congress.
They didn't even mention DOGE, and I think being quiet and saying nothing about it is probably ultimately the best, because all those things are going to have to go through Congress anyway.
They are. Mm-hmm. Congress controls the purse strings, so it does have to go through there.
How about this one for interest deduction? Interest on car loans deductible, assuming, one thing, the car was made in America.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I missed that one.
I kind of like that one.
Yep. Now, does that mean it has to be an American brand, or a Toyota that's made in South Carolina, does that work?
I don't know. I assume it has to roll off the assembly line.
In America.
In America.
Okay, fair enough.
Where is that deduction? Is that above the line, or is it in?
No. Okay. Unfortunately, I think it's just itemized.
All right.
I remember the old days, pre-1988, all interest, credit card interest, car interest, home interest, all that stuff was deductible. It was so much fun. They just took all the fun out of it in 88.
So if you have a huge home in Pennsylvania, it's probably time to look at an F-150, $100,000 truck. Because
you got it.
Yeah, that's the person who's going to get that deduction if it's itemized.
Yeah, they're taking the $10,000 SALT limit to $40,000, as we said. So
right.
the people you just described are the ones that are going to take full advantage of
this thing. Definitely, and finance it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll be tough in Florida.
The other thing I like was the no tax on tips, which a lot of people were doing when cash was a thing. But now all tips go through credit cards and they get accounted for. So that made not claiming tips pretty difficult. This just makes the old system kind of formally legal.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is there an income phase out on that?
I think so, but most people who work in service businesses, right. I don't think would be hit by it. So,
for those of you familiar with the Babylon Bee, they published a little clip on one of the other sites yesterday, I guess it was, and said Babylon Bee is declaring itself a full service restaurant and all the employees work on tips only. Love their sense of humor.
Nice. So I think it's $160,000 the prior year. So that's pretty high.
You're not going to see too many people who are tip dependent.
No.
There's more industry. I mean, you're talking Uber drivers. You're talking, you know, because you've got those options now.
Sure.
And Uber itself keeps on eating the commissions or increasing commissions for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's material for drivers like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think people work at resorts, waiters, like that type of housekeepers sometimes earn tips. I mean, everyone asks for tips these days. It's a running joke. You know, you get a pickup meal and it has an option for a tip.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
What's happening?
Good morning. Okay, so are we ready for economists like to use all kinds of indicators to gauge inflation or recession?
Well, never
I have
ready.
One. I have one for recession. There is no recession in sight. I drove up to New York to go on a couple of hikes in New Jersey and go to the Yankee Met game last Friday.
Nice.
And by the way, I-95 leaves a lot to be desired, but I'll put that aside. To park 10 blocks from the stadium was $50.
Wow.
One beer and two sausages, $41.50. Bag of popcorn, $9. Two seats at the upper tier was $562, and yet the stadium was packed.
Wow.
Every concession stand had lines. You can't pay cash, only credit card. Just like now, the vending machines on I-95, about 90% of them won't take cash anymore. And yet the stadium was packed, so there is no recession in sight.
I think that's probably a pretty good indicator, honestly.
I think it probably is. Yep. People are spending money, and you were just describing luxury goods all the way.
Yeah.
That just takes me back to how's Klarna's profits looking, though. Because a lot of this stuff, you can finance anything now.
Yeah,
I mean, you can finance a $500 game ticket.
So if you don't know, Klarna is like one of these companies that when you go to check out, it says you can pay now or pay over time with Klarna. And so it's been a huge thing.
What could possibly go wrong?
They had the option. I went to Take 5 to get an oil change. You could do that there. It's like, this is like $90. Are you kidding me? I'm going to fill out a credit form.
That's insane.
Oh, man, Mike.
Even though credit card delinquencies are at an all-time high, people are still spending money like crazy. Yep. So I don't see any recession in the near future, but that's just one man's opinion.
Yep.
Quick shot at the trivia, if I may.
Yes.
I will say South Africa.
And you would be right. I know this man knows research.
Well, in the matter of time, you gentlemen are great. I love this show. Either one of you or all of you could discuss who's down on his luck or what charity anybody's involved with. And let's give this winning to someone or a group that's deserving. Can we do that?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
On Memorial Day weekend, we can think of something.
For sure.
Very good.
I appreciate it.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend, gentlemen.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And, of course, my point on the South Africa was the upbraiding that the president of South Africa got in the Oval Office this week. He came smiley, happy, you know, didn't leave that way.
No.
It was kind of Zelensky part two, the way he was, shall we say, not invited to stay for dinner.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you can't do those kind of things.
That's not going on over there.
The internet is
the
thing now.
Yeah. Dim the lights. We got a movie to show you.
Everybody's got a cell phone in their pocket, even in South Africa. I mean, come on.
South Africa. Yeah. And that, to me, means that this high dividend level is because their stocks are so depressed.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
For sure.
Oh, number one, by the way, is Brazil. Look who's running Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there. You know, stay away from the communists. Things will get better overnight. But that's just me. All right, I had one I wanted. Oh, yeah, the wall, the big, beautiful wall, $12 billion. Finish the construction of the wall and liven all of the cameras and so on that were not hooked up because Biden wouldn't let them hook them up. And what happened to reduce the crossings will just be further reduced and will be safer and safer as time goes on. That's money very well spent, in my personal opinion. Which right now, with only a minute left, is all that matters. What can you say? Let's see. They've complained about Medicaid cuts and all that. They don't want waste, fraud, and abuse cut out of anything, so we'll just skip over that. For my Second Amendment friends, no $200 tax on gun silencers anymore.
Right. The suppressor tax stamp is gone.
That was just stupid beyond belief. That's all. Let's see, some good energy things. They're going to stimulate more land that you can lease and drill on. They're going to sell some actual land. So they're going to keep doing the drill, baby, drill, and they're starting a bunch of nuke plants. That is going to make all kinds of difference in the grid as we move into this period of time where we're going to consume electricity big time. All right, before we go, remember what the weekend is for. And treat the living ones well and remember those who didn't make it. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.